Bob.
Get in the game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling, Grant Flanders, sitting in for Mitch Fortner, who's got Manhattan High basketball once again today. But we're going to talk plenty of K-State hoops here on the show. Gut check time in a lot of ways for K-State this weekend in Knoxville with a fairly battered, bruised, and beaten squad. That's going to be the topic here to open up the show. A little bit of breaking news from earlier today, our friend Kellis Robinette on that front. At 425, we'll talk with Mike Strange. He's been covering Tennessee for couple decades for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Have they come down from that Kentucky high yet? That's really the main thing I focus on here with Tennessee. Where is their head at after upsetting Kentucky earlier this week? Bruce Weber took us through peeling back the curtain on the Big 12 SEC Challenge yesterday on the teleconference. We'll play that for you at 525, and you can't be serious at 550. As always, you can tweet us, the game KMAN. You can find a Twitter poll up on my Twitter account right now, JL Kurtz. I'll try and get it retweeted from the game account here in a second because I always forget to do that when I first put up these polls. But it's going to center around a debate that we'll have at 4:50 regarding something that happened today in Tyler's life. That is, who could change a tire faster, me or Tyler? It's not a great answer there.
We can set it up so that after the show, both of us can go out into the parking lot and have to change a tire.
Well, we'll probably still be there with someone filming us on Monday with no tire successfully changed. I'd rather not spend my whole weekend doing that. So I'll pass, but not a great answer, as you can tell from our back and forth right there. But go vote at JL Kurtz. And as always, 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to call the show, driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Today, the first thing I saw really when I came in the office was this tweet from our friend Kellis Robinette, who you hear on the show here every week. That is Dean Wade update. Bruce Weber told me his foot is feeling, quote, a little bit better, but his status for Tennessee is probably a game time decision. So K-State does not know if they're going to have Dean Wade for this matchup against Tennessee. We know that Kamau Stokes has also been gimpy once again with the ankle that he hurt against Oklahoma State. He played fine against West Virginia. Looked like it was bothering him and had been re-aggravated possibly by the end of that Iowa State game. And you're just hitting a point in the season here where guys get beat up. It's a grind. And K-State is very thin. You knew that this was going to be a problem that would surface at some point in time this season more than likely. You know, you did not have any kind of cushion for major injuries. Sure, but even a fairly minor injury, if it's going to knock somebody out for a couple weeks and it's one of the big six, I mean, this team's going to be in some trouble. That is part of the risk that you live with when you're playing as thin as K-State is right now, and they have not had a chance to develop as much depth as you probably would have liked to at this point of the season as well, especially when playing a non-conference schedule like you did. So there's nothing you can do to change that at this point in time, but that is the reality. And so now we arrive here at this point where you're playing a game with not all that much to gain, more to lose probably. It's out of conference. It's in late January. I think you're facing, one, some tough decisions, and then, two, we got to find out if this team can survive and fight through if they're missing a key cog or two against a team. Again, I always use this as a metric, with a pulse. Tennessee has a pulse, as we saw by them beating Kentucky. They're not great, but they have a pulse, and it's on the road. Can this team go win types of games like that if they're going to be without Wade for much of the game and or Kamau Stokes?
Well, they have to be really, really careful, especially with Dean Wade. I think that there are situations where you would want to go ahead and throw him out there and see what he can do, but with K-State having the depth issues that they have, and more importantly, with this being a non-conference game as opposed to a conference game, I think that you have to be really careful and err on the side of caution. I'm not saying that they shouldn't play him, but if he is having any sort of struggle whatsoever in the first few minutes, I think it would be safer to just hold him out and make sure that he's 100% moving forward. But that being said, it is a really big game for K-State, or a potentially big game. It would be a potentially very nice win for the resume, not one that you're going to list at the top of your resume, but one that adds some depth to it, adds some thickness to the list of top 100 wins. And I think that K-State is catching Tennessee at a pretty good time because I don't think they can back up the efforts and the intensity of what they did against Kentucky earlier this week.
Probably not, but then again, it comes back to, I mean, can they give an effort that's good enough to beat K-State if they are shorthanded? We'll tackle the Dean Wade question specifically here in a minute, but I do think this is a time where you hit the pause button and you go back and say, okay, you had a chance with a bunch of Gardner Webbs, Robert Morris is on the schedule coming into Bramlage early in the year to develop some of that depth down low like you would have wanted to, or just depth in general. I mean, Brian Patrick's never become a part of the rotation. Bruce Weber said multiple times that he wanted to do that. I think some of the reason they didn't get to that is because they had to use the starters in that core group through midway into the second half, three quarters of the way through the second half in some of those games because there were slides, there wasn't always focus. It was one of the downsides, I think, that came from that non-conference schedule. You didn't get enough focus to blow teams out to therefore develop the depth quite enough. Dante Williams leaves. I mean, that's somewhat out of your control and unexpected, but that's another thing there that prevented some of it. And Isaiah Maurice, right when he was maybe starting to pick things up, got suspended for three games, and that threw a wrench into to that plan. So there's a number of reasons on how they arrived to this spot where the frontline guys became even more valuable than perhaps we thought they would be heading into this season. And I'm not sure that I have an answer for you necessarily on whether or not they could survive without one of those guys for an extended period of time here. That's part of my point with this. I've got an opinion on whether or not you would play those guys at this point against Tennessee in this specific game if you're arriving here and they're somewhat questionable. But I'm not sure that I can answer, can this team survive minus Dean Wade for a week? Say a week. Got to be a week in Big 12 play. How much does that hurt this team? That, I think, is a question that we may start to find the answer out to if this is going to legitimately affect them.
And the answer could be based on, you know, who you're going up against during the course of that week. I mean, I don't think that K-State has no chance of beating TCU or something like that without Dean Wade. But I will say that that losing him is more important in other categories than it is in scoring. I think that K-State has proven that up and down the roster, they've got six or seven guys that are capable of scoring in double figures. I think that they would be able to make up for it on the scoreboard. The question is, with rebounding, some of the other things that he's been doing, the things that he's been doing to get him going scoring-wise, you know, even on nights that he isn't scoring very well, he's going out, he's getting rebounds, he's getting steals, he's getting a couple blocks, doing all those little intangibles that make him a really good player. And you just do not have that size to replace him inside. I mean, that would be the biggest loss, I think, is what he's bringing to you depth-wise more than scoring.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's part size. It's part a guy that can go hit the glass and rebound. But really, more than anything, it's just it's kind of a blanket statement. It's just it's a guy who's an above-average Big 12 player, above-average to good Big 12 player right now. And they basically have six of those on the roster, and then it's a big drop-off. So you remove one of those guys, and it just knocks everybody back up a peg. You know, whether it's going to be Austin Budke playing more, whether they do have to roll Brian Patrick into the game. I mean, then you're talking about some of those guys playing minutes, and that's where it really starts to affect you. You know, I mean, I love Dean Wade, and when he's on, he may be the best player, most valuable player, whatever argument you want to make on this team, if he's really on and really dialed in. But it's not as much about what he brings that you won't have. It's what the other guys, the trickle-down effect really is from Dean Wade being out if he is going to have to be out here. And this would be, honestly, a pretty good gauge of how this team can deal with something like that if you go play at Tennessee, because it's a fairly, you know, Tennessee would be in the lower half of the Big 12, but I think it's somewhat like at Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, going and playing at one of those places. Can you win that game without a Dean Wade or one of those six? This would honestly be a pretty good gauge of how that would work out during Big 12 play if you got to see it against Tennessee.
That's why I think a win would show a lot more to me than maybe it would to other people. I think that a lot of people look at Tennessee and they see an 11-9 team in a conference that isn't very good, and they say, well, what is there for K-State to gain from this game? But computers-wise, it would look really nice, and I think that especially with K-State having the struggles that they have on the road, the fact that you're able to go into an environment like that and get a win would show that this is a different team and it is an NCAA tournament team.
All right, we'll save the Dean Wade point for 440. If he is somewhat doubtful when you get towards tip-off, should K-State play him or not? If it really is totally 50-50, Should you play him or should you save him for the Big 12 week next week, which is TCU and at Baylor? But coming up, we've got Mike Strange from the Knoxville News Sentinel. He's covered Tennessee for multiple decades there. Have the Volunteers come down from that Kentucky high yet? We'll find out next.